The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Dan Friedel and Brian Lynn. Later, Katie Weaver and Ashley will continue our series on America's national parks. But first, hundreds of rockets flew out of Gaza and Israel hit the territory with airstrikes Wednesday, leaving more than 50 people dead. The fighting is the most severe outbreak of violence since a 50-day conflict in 2014. The Palestinian Health Ministry has reported at least 53 Palestinian deaths in Gaza. More than 320 people have been wounded, including women and children. Six Israelis were killed by rockets, and many more were wounded. In Israel, hundreds of rockets fired by Gaza's Hamas rulers and other militants at times overwhelmed missile defense systems. Air raid warnings and explosions could be heard across Tel Aviv and other Israeli cities. Palestinian citizens in Israel have voiced support for those living in the territories. They are against Israel's reaction to unrest in Jerusalem and its current operations in Gaza. Several mixed Jewish-Arab-Israeli cities have seen increased violence, including the burning of a Jewish-owned restaurant and a Jewish religious center. An Arab man was fatally shot, and there have been attacks on Arab-owned cars. Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz on Wednesday ordered border guards deployed to help police keep order. There was no sign that either side is willing to pull back. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has promised to expand the offensive, saying this will take time. Hamas has called for an intifada, or uprising. The last such uprising began in 2000 and lasted more than 5 years. The latest violence began about 1 month ago in Jerusalem during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. The threatened removal of Palestinian families by Jewish settlers set off protests and clashes with police. Israel has struck hundreds of targets in the Gaza Strip after Hamas militants started firing rockets into the country late Monday. Hamas took control of Gaza and its 2 million Palestinians in 2007. The fiercest attack was a set of airstrikes that brought down a large building. The 12-floor building housed important Hamas offices as well as some businesses. Israel fired a series of warning shots before destroying the building. Israeli aircraft heavily damaged another Gaza City building early Wednesday. Israel said the 9-floor building housed Hamas intelligence offices and the group's command responsible for planning attacks in the West Bank. It also had residential apartments, medical companies, and a dentist's office. Israeli aircraft struck the building again after reporters and rescuers had gathered there. There was no immediate report of casualties. Soon after, Hamas fired 100 rockets at the Israeli town of Beersheba. One strike hit a taxi in Gaza City, killing a man, woman, and driver inside. A second strike killed two men nearby on the street. Witnesses who brought the bodies to a hospital told the Associated Press. In the Israeli city of Lod, a 52-year-old Arab Israeli man and his 16-year-old daughter were killed early Wednesday when a rocket from Gaza hit part of their home. The Jerusalem unrest and conflict come at a time when the Israeli-Palestinian peace process has broken down. Israel and Hamas have fought three wars since the Islamic militant group seized power in Gaza from the Palestinian Authority. Diplomats are again seeking to calm tensions. Qatar, Egypt, and the United Nations are working toward a ceasefire.
England is ready to hug again. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said British people can begin hugging again carefully. This new easing of pandemic restrictions comes during a big decrease in infections across the country. Great Britain is now seeing around 2,000 new coronavirus cases a day, down from nearly 70,000 a day during the January peak. Daily deaths have also dropped a lot, with only two recorded Sunday. The country's emergency level was also lowered to level 3 from 4 on Monday following a decrease in cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. This means that the virus is no longer considered to be spreading quickly. This unlocking amounts to a very considerable step on the road back to normality, and I am confident that we will be able to go further, Johnson said in a press conference. Britain has recorded Europe's highest number of coronavirus deaths, with more than 127,500, but new infections have decreased following a firm lockdown and one of the most successful vaccination programs in the world. Around 53% of the British population has received one dose of vaccine. On May 17th, Johnson is expected to announce that families will be able to visit each other indoors as well as gather in restaurants. All gatherings will be limited to 6 people or to 2 different families. The limit on outdoor gatherings is expected to be raised to 30 people. Similar restrictions are being eased in the other countries in Great Britain, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. Indoor activities and businesses such as cinemas, sports and hotels are also expected to reopen. The government said the plan is being guided by data, not dates. Nadine Dorries is Britain's health minister. I think it's what most people have missed, that intimate contact with family and friends, she said. The government will also allow some foreign travel to start on May 17th. But there are only a few countries, like Portugal and Iceland, that are considered safe enough to avoid the 10-day quarantine rule upon return. Popular destinations like France, Italy, Spain, and Greece still require quarantining and coronavirus tests. Additional easing lockdown measures are expected June 21st. Many are hoping all other limits on social behavior will be lifted then. Though the coronavirus situation in the country is much improved, Some remain concerned that the government is moving too quickly. That is because some countries, like India, are experiencing a deadly increase in infections, and many people still need vaccines. I'm Dan Friedel.
A growing number of social media companies are currently developing ways for their users to communicate through voice. The latest company to announce such a service was Twitter, which launched its new offering last week. Moves to add audio as a way for users to connect demonstrate the popularity of the social media app Clubhouse, a social network based completely on voice communication. Clubhouse was launched in March 2020 by two American businessmen. It permits users to communicate through audio in virtual discussion rooms, also known as chat rooms. There are many rooms covering a wide range of subjects, and users can create their own rooms. People who want to join the app must first be approved after being invited by someone who already has it. Clubhouse had only been available for iPhone users since its launch, but a new version for Android devices was released to U.S. users this week and is set to launch soon in other countries. Clubhouse was launched during the coronavirus pandemic when people around the world faced restrictions that kept them at home. Its popularity grew after appearances on the app by several famous people, including Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg and Tesla and SpaceX chief Elon Musk. Clubhouse reached a high of 9.6 million downloads in February, industry researcher Sensor Tower reported. However, downloads of the app then dropped to 2.7 million in March, Sensor Tower said. Clubhouse recently reported it had about 10 million active weekly users. In some parts of the world, the app has become a favored place to speak freely about issues considered too sensitive to discuss in public or on other forms of social media. China moved to block Clubhouse within the country in February. Chinese users had discussed issues including Xinjiang detention camps, Taiwan independence, and Hong Kong's national security law. The app also rose in popularity in the Arab world, Reuters news agency reports. People in places such as Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Iraq used the service to have open debates on sensitive subjects such as women's rights and sexual identity. Bloomberg reported last month that Twitter was in talks to buy Clubhouse for $4 billion. The talks did not result in a deal. However, Twitter recently launched its own live audio product called Spaces. Twitter's new service is currently only available to users with 600 or more followers. Those users can open or host their own virtual space and can also charge people money to enter. Twitter says it plans to offer the service to all users in the future. "You've always followed people for their tweets," Twitter said in a statement. Now Spaces lets you hear their voices and talk about what's happening now and what's most important to you, live. Facebook is also preparing to offer voice communications when it launches its planned Live Audio Rooms service. The company said last month it would first test the service in Facebook groups before making it available to all users by the summer. It also plans to add live audio to its Messenger service to permit one-on-one or group audio conversations among Facebook friends. Last month, the social network Reddit launched its own new live audio service called Talk, which offers live voice communication between users. And in March, job networking site LinkedIn also confirmed to TechCrunch that it was working on a live voice product to connect users. There are other lesser-known apps that already offer live voice audio. Two of them, Stereo and Spoon, mainly aim to provide social communications similar to Clubhouse. Others include Discord, which is popular for gamers, and Yak, which has tools aimed at improving work meetings. I'm Brian Lynn.
On today's National Parks Journey, we explore a unique landscape in the North Central United States.
The land is big and mostly flat. There are endless fields of corn, wheat, and soybeans. Colors of green and gold paint the earth for kilometers. But as we travel west, the farmland gives way to wild grasses. It grows tall here, under a huge blue sky. Farther on, however, the grass becomes much shorter. A strong, dry wind blows continuously from the west. Suddenly, the land is torn and rocky, dry and dusty. The green is gone. Now we are surrounded by light reds and browns. Purple and gold hues can be seen as well. All around are broken, disorganized forms. There are sharp walls of rocks and hills and valleys of all sizes and shapes. Welcome to Badlands National Park in the state of South Dakota.
Hundreds of thousands of years ago, this whole area was grassland. Then, forces of nature destroyed the grass in some parts. Water and ice cut into the surface of the earth, splitting open some of its oldest rocks. Nature beat at the rocks, wearing them away. The result is one of the strangest sights, a place of otherworldly beauty. Altogether, the Badlands cover more than 15,000 square kilometers. About 10% is part of the national park. The area is a study in extremes. Temperatures in the summer have been as high as 46 degrees Celsius. In the winter, they have dropped to as low as 41 degrees below zero. Life in the Badlands is difficult. Its name comes from the Lakota Native Americans. They called the area Mako Sika, or Land Bad, because of the extreme temperatures and harsh landscape.
The term Badlands has come to be used for areas where soft rock is eroded in a very dry climate. Looking at a rock wall in the Badlands is like looking back through time. The layers and colors in the Badlands' strange formations were formed over millions of years. The long history of the Badlands began some 65 million years ago, around the time the dinosaurs died out. A huge sea covered the middle of North America. It was drying up. The land at the bottom of the sea was black shale rock. That shale is now at the bottom of the Badlands. The next level of rock is from what geologists call the Oligocene epoch. That period began about 37 million years ago. At that time, the Badlands area was warm and wet. A jungle grew there. A large number of warm-blooded animals lived in the jungle. Some of these animals were buried in the mud left behind by floods. Over millions of years, their bodies turned to rock. These fossil remains are a record in stone of what ancient animals looked like. The Badlands holds the world's richest collection of fossils from the Oligocene epoch. The area contains fossils from rhinos, horses, and huge cats. Because of this evidence here, we know that the period was great for mammals. Their total population worldwide increased greatly, and they grew in body size to take over the land left by the dinosaurs. About 28 million years ago, the environment of North America became much drier and cooler. The jungle disappeared. The land in the center of the continent became a prairie. A prairie is a large open area of grassland. The prairie here is one of the world's largest.
The Badlands were created on the western edge of this great prairie. They started to take shape as rain, wind, snow, and ice beat down on the land. The rain and ice tore deep cuts in the soft earth. Over time, they became wider and deeper. The wind dried the earth and blew away the topsoil. Today, rain comes to the Badlands mostly in sudden, fierce storms. Often, the area's rivers are cooked dry by the hot sun and wind. Yet, when it rains, the rivers flood. Their waters cut even deeper into the soft earth. The Badlands are very dry, but they are not a desert. They are filled with many living things. There are short native grasses and wildflowers. The national park is home to many animals. Bison, bighorn sheep, and prairie dogs live here. Prairie dogs are small animals that dig tunnels in the earth and live underground. Every living thing in the Badlands must be able to survive the extreme conditions. That includes the humans who have called the area home. Several hundred years ago, the Sioux tribe of Native Americans lived all around the Badlands. At the time, the Badlands were rich with animals. There were wolves and bears, bighorn sheep and deer. The most important animal to the Sioux, however, was the bison. They look like huge, hairy, wild cattle. The Sioux way of life was completely organized around hunting bison. They used every part of the animal. They ate the meat. They made clothing and tents from its fur and skins. They used the bones as tools. They even boiled the feet to make a sticky substance to hold things together.
White settlers who came west also hunted bison. In fact, they hunted bison until very few remained. They also planted crops where the bison had once fed. In time, the Sioux way of life on the Great Plains came to an end. The settlers and the federal government did not respect Native American cultures. The government expected the Sioux Indians to learn to farm. But the Badlands' harsh environment was not good farmland. With few bison left to hunt, the Indians were sent to live on a reservation next to the Badlands area. The Badlands became a national monument in 1939. Congress declared it a national park in 1978. More than 1 million people visit Badlands National Park each year.
The park is now a protected area for bison. The National Park Service moved bison back into the Badlands. The animals are doing well. So are the bighorn sheep, foxes, coyotes, golden eagles, and prairie dogs. Most of the wild animals must be watched from a distance, especially the bison. The Park Service says a full-grown bison can weigh as much as a small car. It can run faster than a horse. And it can become angry and dangerous easily. Today, of course, the history of the Badlands continues to be written. As measured in geological time, the Badlands are being destroyed rapidly. The area, with its unusually soft rock, is being worn away at a rate of 1 centimeter per year. In a few more million years, the Badlands will be worn away forever. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.